How can Mary be the mother of God? I mean, that's just not possible. How can Mary have created God? Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hi, I'm Father Jay Finelli from the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Shortly, I'll be at my 100th episode and would like to invite you to take part in our 100th show giveaway. You'll have a chance to win a brand new iPod Nano and some other great things. So head over to iPadre.net, subscribe to the show, and listen in for the details. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. All things Catholic, and then some.
Welcome back to The Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 35. And today we're going to talk about Mary, the Mother of God. Happy New Year to you. I pray that your New Year went well. Mine was pretty uneventful. We sat around the house and read some books, watched a couple of movies for the kids. Nothing special, but that's the way I like it personally. It gives me a chance to rest before going back to the stresses of the work environment. But after attending Mass on the feast day of Mary the Mother of God, I was inspired to talk about that. Mary is one of my favorite subjects to talk about in Catholic theology and apologetics, so I thought we'd share a little about that today. Well, if you are a new listener, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast, and especially if you have found us by way of SQPN. It has been a real blessing to be picked up by the SQPN Network as an affiliate podcast over the Christmas holidays. And so to you, if you're new in that way, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Please do consider sharing this podcast with your friends and your family members. Send me some feedback. You can reach out to me at www.catholichack.com. I have to warn you, I'm pretty much out of it right now. Everybody in my house is sick. All my kids are sick, and they've got some bronchitis thing going on, and I've sort of got a chest cold myself. I'm on medications, and to top it off, my tooth is pounding right now, so I'm having a hard time sort of forming thoughts. So if I start to stutter or stammer or pause or whatever, forgive me. I'm just going to try to muscle my way through this. But I want to say thank you to everyone who has taken the time to send me some feedback. It has been really, really heartwarming. And I say that a lot, I know. But you know what? It really is a blessing to receive your feedback. It encourages me. It builds me up. It makes me want to continue this on. And 2007 has been a tremendous blessing for me on this podcast. This podcast has been a dream of mine for the last handful of years, couple of years anyway. But because of personal circumstances, I simply was not able to get this off the ground. Well, when I took a job down here in Texas, coming away from New Hampshire, and I moved my family down here, I was able to have the opportunity to start the podcast. I felt on my heart from the Holy Spirit that I couldn't wait any longer, that I had to get this going. And so I did. And in May, I put out the first episode. Now you can get to all of the episodes off of the blog www.catholichack.com. That first one, I wanted to give you some background information on myself. Now the podcast has undergone some changes, you know, in production wise. I've gone through 3 microphones, and I still am not completely satisfied with the production quality of the of the podcast. But, you know, see, I podcast from a parking lot, and currently I'm sitting in a parking lot in my 1998 mobile studio, Dodge minivan, and this is what I have to do if I'm going to do this podcast, because the only time that I have is my lunch hour. You see, I'm a father, and my wife already complains I don't help enough, and I have a full-time job, so there's many demands on our life, and we're going to do something, we have to fit it in somehow, and this is, for me, the best way to fit it in is to do it right here in my minivan. So the best way I've been able to get that done is with my laptop and with a headset. And the microphone on the headset is not the greatest, as you can tell, as you can hear. It is not as good quality as I would prefer it to be. And we hope in 2008 we'll be able to do some capital improvements and maybe upgrade the microphone. But it's going to have to do in the meantime, and I think it does halfway decent considering. So, and I'd love to hear your opinion on that, so please do send me some feedback. But in 2007 we were fortunate. We were able to put out 34 episodes. And on a variety of topics, and some of my favorites were the divinity of Christ, on confession, typology. One of the first podcasts I did was on typology. I was able to interview many fascinating speakers, and they're all there for you, and you can go back and check them out. Tarek Saab was one of my favorites, as well as Mark Houck of the King's Men. Tarek was on season number 5 of The Apprentice, and he is a fascinating Catholic speaker. He is motivating the youth of our American church, and so I strongly encourage you to go and check him out. If you're in the business world, you know, he can be very inspiring. He gives you a good example of how to balance work with your faith, with your home, with your family. And that is a message that spoke to my heart, and I wanted to share him with you. Mark Houck of the King's Men is doing fantastic work. Him and Damien up there in Pennsylvania are motivated. I mean, they are trying to build men up. They are trying to fire men up to take charge and become the man of God that they were designed to be. I mean, they're out there picketing, you know, sex businesses, you know, DVD businesses or 7-Eleven for selling pornography to minors. I mean, this is fascinating. I mean, that's the take charge, you know, lead by example, come follow me, we're taking the hill attitude that really inspires me. So I was happy to share the King's Men with you, and that interview is also available. And I was blessed. They had me on their radio program, and I have a copy of that on the blog as well. What a blessing it has been. We've spoke to Victor Claveau of the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelization. He is running an excellent evangelization apostolate, and you can get to his website off of my blog. And if you can't find it, please send me an email, and I'll direct you there. But the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelization has fantastic Catholic resources for you, pamphlets that you can download and you can distribute. And they have an entire evangelization program that Victor and I talked about. It was a fantastic interview, and I was extremely happy to share him with you. We spoke with Carl Olson of Left Behind. He's the author of Will Catholics Be Left Behind? An excellent conversation on rapture. And you know what we discovered was we sort of hit on the topics, but we didn't really dive deep into what is the Catholic Church's true position on the rapture. We sort of, you know, spent more time critiquing the Protestant version and didn't really talk about our own. So I'm going to get Carl back on the show, and we'll go in much greater detail about that. We also spoke with Tim Staples. Tim Staples. that was a great conversation as well. Tim Staples is a fantastic Catholic apologist with Catholic Answers Live out in San Diego. And what a blessing. We were able to talk to him about his conversion experience, his professional experience, and you know what it's like being a professional apologist. We were able to speak with John Martinoni of the Bible Christian Society. John, another great influence on me personally and my conversion. And it was a fantastic conversation. I really enjoyed it. And sharing his apostolate with you was a real blessing. So you can see that, you know, we've been able to share so many great great people with you. You know, Mike Aquilina, the Church Fathers, something I'm very passionate about. They have fired me up, these Church Fathers. And Mike Aquilina has written many books, and he's a fantastic Catholic mind. And again, another fantastic opportunity to to share him with you, and I hope you appreciate that. I tend to use fantastic way too many times, huh? Well, like I said, the medication is talking right now, so please forgive me. Well, in 2007, I didn't, for the most part of that year, from May until October, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the performance of the podcast. I mean, I had a general idea of how things were going, but in October, I really tried to figure out how many downloads we were receiving. And to do that, I had to dive into the web logs. So I contacted my hosting service provider, and I asked them about the web logs, and they provided me access. And so I started to download these web logs and sort of pour through them. And so I don't have data from May till October, but I can tell you, from October the 18th till December the 31st, we've had over 14,000 downloads of the podcast. Praise God and amen. That blows me away. I'm speechless. I mean, that is just phenomenal. I never in a million years thought this podcast would receive that kind of support. Wow. Blown away by that. Don't know what to say. I'm humbled by it. I wish I was worthy of it, but I'm not. And the feedback that you have given me has been overwhelming. I mean, the support is just... I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. It's fantastic. And I can tell you, I'm not worthy of any of it. I mean, on iTunes, we've had several. I mean, we have 31 reviews right now on iTunes. And I can't tell you, that to me touches my heart, because that's an act of evangelization. You leaving a review on iTunes is an act of evangelization. Well, how so? Well, let me tell you. I have received, I don't know, maybe a dozen emails over the last 4 weeks or so from people who said to me, I wasn't looking for your podcast, but I stumbled upon it. Something to that effect. The way that they can do this is because of iTunes. And the way that they find us is by you leaving reviews. You supporting this podcast by subscribing through iTunes and leaving a review on the podcast on iTunes Store. Because that increases this podcast standing in the iTunes Store. So the more reviews, the more subscribers, the easier it is to find. As a matter of fact, if you go under the Christian podcast category of the iTunes Store, you have the newcomers section at the very top, and then the main body is the featured list, and then off to the right is today's top picks, the top 100 podcasts. Well, we've been consistently featured under the featured list. Right now we're on page number 3. And I'm hoping that we'll get to page 2. Because ultimately, I want to be on page 1. And that's how more and more people will find this podcast. And we've been consistent for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, making that top 100, today's top 100 picks. Praise God, that's awesome. That's how people find the podcast. More and more people are discovering it because of your hard work, because of your support. So by you leaving a review on iTunes, that's an act of evangelization. The other thing that you can do for me, and I know I'm asking big favors from you right now, and I appreciate that, is to pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt. Go to the blog, www.catholichack.com. Look for the t-shirt on the right-hand side, and there, you click on that. That will take you to Nielsen Design Studios. And if you can pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt and a mug, people are going to ask you about that. You wear that out in town, like I do with my family and I, we wear ours. People will say, well, what is a Catholic Hack? An excellent opportunity for you to share with them about Catholic podcasting, not just mine, but the SQPN podcast, or Tupelo Catholic, or Catholic Vocations Cast, or the many Catholic podcasts that are out there. You can share all of this with them and say, you know, there is a ton of great Catholic content free of charge that you can go out there and get, and this will fill your day. You see, I live in an area where there is no Catholic radio. Houston has no Catholic radio. There's an effort to bring Catholic radio back here, but it's hard. It's a lot of work, takes a lot of money and a lot of time, and we're working on it, but it hasn't happened yet. But see, Catholic podcasting fills the void, because you can get great Catholic content free of charge. Fill your iPod up, your MP3 player up, your cell phone up, and you can listen all day long to some great Catholic content. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what you can do. You can support this podcast as well as other Catholic podcasts, picking up one of the Catholic Hack t-shirts and wearing that out in town, and let that be the icebreaker in the conversation. And then you can share this podcast as well as all the others. Catholic Mom, Catholic Underground, The Rosary Army, The Daily Breakfast. I mean, there's so many now. It's just been a blessing to see this growth in media. Great Catholic content in new media. It's been a real blessing. So please do consider leaving me a review on iTunes and picking up a Catholic Hack t-shirt. You're going to support this podcast. You're going to support a Catholic-run and owned family business in Nielsen Design Studios. Great quality t-shirt and products at low cost. So please do consider doing that. Thank you to everyone who sent in that feedback. Anne left a comment on the blog on the Mike Aquilina podcast. So thank you, Anne, for doing that. Steve left a comment. Steve's a new listener. He left a comment on the Merry Christmas podcast. Steve was giving some information on telescopes. Steve, I have no idea about telescopes. I did see Haley's comment when I was a kid. The last time it was here, and that's about all I know about that. So my son, he probably can tell you more about it than I can. It worked out really well, though, the telescope for Christmas. Adam the Catholic sent me an email sharing his Christmas with me, and what a blessing. You know, it truly, I know I say it over and over again, but it truly does warm my heart to read your, you know, when you share with me your personal experiences, your trials, your tests, you know, the things that you go through. And Adam did that when he shared his Christmas with me. So thank you, Adam. I really do appreciate that. Jason Sims also sent me an email. George Leet from Catholic Rockers sent me an email congratulating me on making it to the SQPN lineup. Thank you, George. De Colores. Denise sent me an email. Also talking about the podcast, the background music, which I seem to receive a lot of email on the background music these days. Half of them want it, half of them don't. Not sure where to go with that. But personally, I like the background music. I have a background in radio. And in broadcasting school, that was one of the first things they taught you. Never speak over dead air. Always have a bed of music in the background. So I sort of do it out of habit, but I'm trying to find that middle ground that, you know, keeps you listening. Yvonne Smart also sent me an email. She's the one who took me up on my offer on the Todaw Challenge, and she earned her husband a Catholic Hack t-shirt. There's going to be more of those in 2008. I'm going to give you some challenges, and if you'll answer them, then I will send you some Catholic Hack gear. So please keep listening for that. Michael Ferris, fellow parishioner at St. Anthony of Padua in the Woodlands, Texas, sent me an email. So did Eric, also a fellow parishioner in my men's group. Joe from outside of Kansas City, Missouri, sent me an email sharing his family, sharing his experiences with me, and truly touched my heart, and I really, really do appreciate that. Joe, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to send me an email, and I really was very blessed to have communicated with you. So again, this is Dawn. I received another Facebook message from Dawn. Thank you, Dawn, for taking the time to send me your feedback. Patrick McGuire also sent me an email telling me that he has really been blessed by listening to the lectures of Dr. Peter Kreeft. Dr. Kreeft is a professor at Boston College, and you can download his audio lectures for free off of his website, www.peterkreeft.com. I'll try to post a link in the show notes for that. I personally have listened to many of Dr. Kreeft's lectures, and I really enjoy them. Patrick McGuire really recommended lecture number 4, which was regarding the movie series Lord of the Rings, which was a fantastic lecture. So please do check that out. That's lecture number 4. I think you'll enjoy that. But to everyone who's left either an iTunes review or just sent me some feedback, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, and I want to say a quick prayer, because many of you have shared like I said, personal experiences, personal trials and tests that you're going through. Some of you are going to be looking for work soon. Some of you are struggling with friends and family members in a conversion process. Some of you have relatives who aren't too happy that you're Catholic. And so I just want to take an opportunity right now and praise God and ask Him to be with you. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You for all the graces and the glory that You rain down on us despite our unworthiness. I pray, O Holy Father, that You will look past our iniquity and You will continue to bestow grace upon Your children. I pray for all the listeners of the Catholic Hack Podcast. Dear Heavenly Father, may You walk with them and guide them. May You touch their hearts. May You send forth Your holy angels to whisper to them and speak to them. Guide them on the path of life. Provide for their every need, O Holy Father. Lead them to Your glory. And I thank You for the grace that You have bestowed upon me through them. All praise and glory and honor be to You, Almighty God, forever and ever. May Your holiness reign in our hearts. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, amen. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about Mary, the Mother of God. So we got to roll up our sleeves. We've got to dive deep, and we've got to get into the truth about the Mother of God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's cool when I sit, even just a little bit. I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner every moment, hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my head to persist. To change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Hammond, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet. 10 degree down, Bubba.
150 feet, 10 degree down, Bubba. Aye, sir.
Dive, dive, dive.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace from our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I always like to begin these discussions with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And paragraph 495 says, called in the Gospels the Mother of Jesus, Mary is acclaimed by Elizabeth at the prompting of the Spirit and even before the birth of her son as the Mother of my Lord. In fact, the one whom she conceived as man by the Holy Spirit, who truly became her son according to the flesh, was none other than the Father's eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Hence, the Church confesses that Mary is truly Mother of God, Theotokos. You know, I don't want to rehash the argument of, is Jesus God or not? He truly is God. Just as the Catechism states there, He's the second person of the Trinity, and He is truly divine, and He is also truly human. That's His mystery, that He has two natures within Himself. I did a podcast, it was one of the first ones I did, it was on the divinity of Christ, so I would recommend that you go to the blog, www.catholichack.com, and there on the right-hand side is the list of all the shows, and you can download the MP3 of that particular podcast. It was on the divinity of Christ. So please do check that out. So, but just to rehash just a tiny bit anyway, John chapter 1, very clearly, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's verse 14. So again, check out the podcast for much greater detail on that topic, the divinity of Christ. But you know, in the Advent season, we heard a lot of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And I think that's a good place for us to just to hang out in this discussion, because there's so much rich material here when we're talking about Mary, our Blessed Lady, our Mother. Excuse me. we see in Luke 1, starting in verse 32, well, backing up a little bit, the angel Gabriel comes to visit Mary in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And there he greets her with a title, you know, and the Greek word is kekaretomene. And this basically means that she is full of grace. She is the favored one. It's a title, you know. You are the favored one, basically, is what he's saying to her. And she is, you know, she's receiving this word from this angel. And in verse 32, he says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's the child with whom Mary will bear within her womb. You know, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. You see, this right here is very telling. One, that Jesus is going to be of the lineage of David, well, through Mary and through Joseph, but through the lineage of David. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy that from David's line will come the Messiah. See, I've said this many times in this podcast, and I'll repeat it because it's been a while now. I'll say it again. We have to stop reading the Bible like 21st century Americans. We have to start reading Scripture like 1st century Jews. Because as a 1st century Jew, this would send up red flags all over the place. Fireworks are bursting here. When you start throwing out keywords like the throne of his father David, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, these people were waiting for the Messiah to come. They were waiting for a descendant of David to step up and take charge and right the wrong. And that's exactly what the angel here is announcing. So this is very powerful and very deep and rich material here. And so we can see that the Lord God will give him the throne of his David, his father, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. That's all in verse 32, are very rich and very meaningful. And in the same sentence, he says he's God and he's human. The two natures in one, right there in that verse. And he goes on to say that he's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no relations with a man, since she's a virgin? And in verse 35, and the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Couple of things there that I kind of want to touch on. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. As a first century Jew, this is another key word. This is another red flag going off here. The last time the Holy Spirit, the last time the Most High overshadowed something was in the great Shekinah glory cloud. And what did it overshadow? It overshadowed and took over the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and there it dwelt in its presence. We see the same image happening to our Blessed Lady here in Luke's gospel. The Most High is overshadowing her. And then with her in her womb, by the Holy Spirit, she is conceiving a son who will be called the Son of God. That's verse 35. And so this is very powerful imagery in Luke's gospel here. And what does Mary say? Let it be done to me. She says, verse 38, Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. And what happens immediately right after, verse 40, in verse 39, let's back up. During those days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judea, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now let's stop there. The Lord, let's focus on that. There's many things going on here, but the word Lord, the Greek word used here is kurios. Now, I'm going to provide this to you in the show notes, but you can look this up. Kurios. It's Strong's number 2962. And it means master, as a respectful title, God, with a big G, Lord, or Sir. Now, there are many examples of this word being used to refer to kings, for example. You know, people in power and authority. But there are also many, many examples of this same word being used to refer to God Almighty. And here it is, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's verse 41. Verse 41 literally says, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. She says, and how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord, Kurios, should come to me? And what does Mary say? Does she turn around and say, watch your mouth, that's blasphemy. What are you saying? No, no, she doesn't. Mary says in verse 46, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary acknowledges the title, Kurios. She acknowledges the title, Mother of Kurios, Mother of God. This is her title. This is what God has bestowed upon her. He has lifted her up, raised her up from her lowliness, and bestowed this title upon her. Why? Because she is just happens to be physically the mother of God? Physically the woman that they just sort of chosen randomly? No, that's not it at all. Why is she worthy of the title? Because she received the word of God and she obeyed. Let it be done to me according to thy word. And that's exactly what Jesus, you know, he backs that up in the Gospels when he's asked, you know, your mother and your brothers are outside, and Jesus says, well, who are my mother and brothers? But those who hear the word of God and obey. That's exactly why Mary is venerated as being a holy woman, not because of her biology, but because of her obedience, because she says, pick up the cross and follow me. She's leading the charge on Calvary, right behind her son, Jesus the Christ, and we're following her. She's leading us to Christ, to Calvary, and that's exactly why she is holy. And that's what's reinstated here. She is the mother of my Lord, Kurios. But this, there's a fantastic parallel that I highly recommend that you look into. If you take this scripture passage here in Luke's Gospel of Mary going to visit Elizabeth, and you compare it to 2 Samuel 6, you get blown away. And let me give you some examples. If you go to 2 Samuel 6, there you're going to see an episode of King David. He's just basically, you know, fresh into the kingdom, and he's bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. He's going to bring it up to Jerusalem, and he's traveling with it. And so in verse 2, he sets out with the people to a town in the hill country of Judea. And there he's going to go and receive the Ark and bring it up. And so we see this episode where somebody actually reaches out, because the Ark of the Covenant is sitting on a cart, and it started to get unsteady, and he reaches out to steady it, and that upsets God, because the Ark is so holy. It is so holy that to touch it and you not being holy kills you. And this person died. And that scared the living daylights out of David. And in verse 8, 2 Samuel 6, verse 8, David was disturbed because the Lord had vented his anger on Uzzah. The place has been called Perez Uzzah down to this present day. In verse 9, David feared the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Whoa, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? So David would not have the ark of the Lord brought to him in the city of David, but diverted it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord, this is verse 11, remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his whole house. When it was reported to King David, the Lord had blessed the family of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him. David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David amid festivities. Verse 13, as soon as the bearers of the ark of the Lord had advanced 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. Verse 14, then David, girt with a linen apron, came dancing before the Lord with abandon, as he and all the Israelites were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy to the sound of the horn. All right, well, let's recap here. What's going on? There's a fantastic parallel here to the visit with Elizabeth. David goes in haste to a town in the hill country of Judea. Mary goes in haste to a town in the hill country of Judea. That's Luke 1:39. And there she enters the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And David is scared because the person dies after steadying the ark. And he's like, oh, I can't bring it up now. What do I do now? So the ark is taken, you know, and David says, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And the word Lord in verse 9, 2 Samuel 6, 9, kurios, it's the same word. And he's referring, David is clearly referring here to God. It's the same Greek word that Elizabeth used in Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verse 43, to refer to Mary as being the mother of my Lord, kurios, same word. And so the ark goes to the house of Obed-Edom. Guess how long it stays there? It stays there 3 months. How long does Mary stay with Elizabeth? She stays there 3 months. So there are fantastic parallels here. Now, parallel in itself, what does it mean? Like, what's the conclusion here? The conclusion, the result here is we should see clearly the parallel between the Ark of the Covenant and our Blessed Lady. Mary is our Blessed Lady, and she is the Ark of the New Covenant. Inside the Ark in the Old Testament, what was there? The law and the tablets, the manna come down from heaven that fed the Israelites in the desert, as well as the rod of Aaron, the staff, which represented the high priest. What was in the womb of our Blessed Lady? That was the law, the perfect law. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who is the law. The true bread come down from heaven, John chapter 6. He is the high priest. The book of Hebrews makes that clear. He is the one mediator between God and man. The Holy Spirit overshadows our Blessed Lady in Luke's gospel. And then she conceives and bears Christ our King. What overshadowed the ark in the Old Testament? The Shekinah glory cloud, which is the Holy Spirit. And it came upon and made its dwelling in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, which was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And the people went and worshipped, and they offered sacrifice before it. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. So read carefully Luke 1 and 2 Samuel 6, and I think you'll be as blown away by that as I am. And we can see, you know, kurios, Elizabeth clearly stating that Mary is the mother of our Lord. But what we have to be careful on is the issue. Well, we can't say that Mary created Christ's divinity. But you know what? We don't say that. Jesus is a mystery in that he has two natures in one. He's the only one to have it. He is truly God and he is truly man. Two natures in one. And you cannot separate those natures from one another. That was the Nestorian heresy, which took place in the church. And the church had to convene a council. In 431, the year 431, the Council of Ephesus convened to settle this argument. The council declared, if anyone does not confess that the Emmanuel is truly God, and therefore the Holy Virgin is the mother of God, Theotokos, which means God-bearer, since she begot according to the flesh of the word of God made flesh. Anathema sit. In other words, cursed be you. We're gonna excommunicate you if you don't confirm that Mary is the mother of God. Now, did the church say that for Mary's sake? No, not at all. They said that for Christ's sake. They're protecting the doctrine of the divinity of Christ. So it's very crucial. It's very crucial. It's a very It's actually a very easy concept to come to understand, that we don't claim Mary created God, but she was simply the one that God, you know, encountered. And she was the one who said yes to God's plan. And she became the Ark of the New Covenant. And within her womb, she bore the Savior of the world. And she bore him to the world. And therefore, she is Theotokos, God-bearer. And in her womb was the person, Jesus Christ. And the person, Jesus Christ, is both God and man. And therefore, Mary is truly the mother of our Lord, the mother of our God. Kurios, see, the medicines are speaking again. There are many early Christian fathers who spoken to this matter very, very clearly. There's an article that I'll post as a resource for you from the Catholic Answers website that lists all these out, so they're very readily and easily to see. Irenaeus, 189 AD, the Virgin Mary, being obedient to his word, received from an angel the glad tidings that she would bear God. Hippolytus, 217, thus too they preached of the advent of God in the flesh to the world, his advent by the spotless and God-bearing Theotokos, Mary in the way of birth and growth. Gregory the Wonderworker, 262 AD. It is our duty to present to God, like sacrifices, all the festivals of hymnal celebrations, and first of all, the feast of the Annunciation of the Holy Mother of God, to wit, the salutation made to her by the angel, Hail, full of grace. That's 262 AD. Peter of Alexandria, 305 AD, they came to the church of the Most Blessed Mother of God, an ever-Virgin Mary. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There are so many. I'm going to just recommend that you pick up this article and read it. I mean, there are so many. John Cassian in 429, now you heretic, you say, whoever you are who deny that God was born of the Virgin, that Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be called the mother of God, but the mother only of Christ and not of God. For no one, you say, gives birth to one older than herself. And concerning this utterly stupid argument, and I'm quoting that, let us prove by divine testimonies, both that Christ is God and that Mary is the mother of God. That's 429 AD. Pick up that article. I'm going to post that as a link on the blog so you can check that out for yourself. There's just countless early church fathers who have attested to Mary being truly the mother of God. Not so much for Mary's sake, but for the sake of Christ and protecting this doctrine that Christ is two persons in one. He is truly divine. And he's truly human, and they cannot be separated. If you say that Mary only bore the person, the human person, Christ, then you are guilty of heresy, because you are separating the two mysteries, the mystery of his divinity and his humanity combined. So it's a slippery slope. You have to, and this is why the church, the Council of Ephesus, declared Mary Theotokos. You know, this is something you have to proclaim. We also see in John's Gospel, chapter 19, there, starting in verse 25, how our Blessed Lady was given to all of us to be our mother. You know, she was given to that blessed, the beloved disciple. But you are a beloved disciple as well as John. And so Mary is given to you. How can we reconfirm this? Well, Revelation 12 makes this very clear. We see this episode of the dragon chasing the woman. And then when he can't get her, he can't consume her, you know, he goes after all of her offspring. And that's verse 17. Then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus, it took its possession on the sand of the sea. Well, I shouldn't have read that last part there because I cut off the verse and didn't read it all. But at any point, read verse 17. You'll see quite clearly the dragon goes after her offspring. That's you and that's me, and that's why we're under attack. Our Blessed Lady is leading the charge. She's leading us to her Son, Christ Jesus. And she truly is the Mother of God. And so I hope that you can see that quite clearly. And so please do check out the resources that we have on this. I'll put up some links to and the show notes as well. Well, that's going to do it for Mary, the Mother of God. Unfortunately, with being sick and the medications and such, I don't think I did a very good job. I'm sorry about that. Send me your feedback. Let me know what you thought. Stop by the blog, www.catholichack.com, and reach out to me. I know I said earlier that you can get a hold of me on Facebook. That's a great place to communicate with me. I have the group, the Catholic Hack Podcast group. So seek that out. See what I'm saying? Medications are talking. Seek that out and subscribe, because that is a great method for me to reach out to you. I can send you messages off of that group and let you know about upcoming events, about guests on the podcast, their pictures. I can post the actual MP3s there. It's an opportunity for you to share feedback on the wall or discussion groups or whatever you'd like. So please reach out to me. Let me know what you thought. Leave me a review on iTunes. That always, always, always helps. Thank you so much for your support. I truly appreciate that. Well, I want to leave you with some fantastic news. A news update about what's going on with my family and I. A couple of weeks ago, I met with a gentleman from an organization called The Fullness of Truth here in Houston. The Fullness of Truth is a 501c Catholic apostolate geared towards evangelizing Catholics. They hold these very well done, great Catholic conferences. They bring in fantastic Catholic speakers, and they really motivate whole families, you know, in the Catholic faith. Well, it has been put on my heart, as I've shared many times, that I feel the need to evangelize Catholics and evangelize men. I feel a real draw to men's spirituality. So I've been trying to motivate the men in my men's prayer group to get something going for a men's conference, a Catholic men's conference here in the Diocese of Houston and Galveston. And so we have a strong backing on that. Well, if you know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel, so I went and reached out to the Fullness of Truth people, and I had lunch with this gentleman, and we were talking, and I was pitching my concept of this Catholic conference to him, and then he asked me a question. Do you like where you work? Well, sure. You know, I have a great job. It's a real blessing to have a good job, you know, to be able to provide for your family's needs and to do something that you know, you can use your skill sets on is a fantastic gift, you know, of God. Then he went on to tell me that they were looking for somebody. They were trying to hire somebody in their organization to help push them to the next level in their conferences. And my jaw dropped. I thought, there's no possible way that I could get that. I mean, I can't tell you. I had to share with you too much detail to get into it. But for the past 2 years, 3 years, I had prayed fervently. I was in a job that was absolutely horrible. And I had prayed to God, God, why am I in this job? I'm not good at it. The environment is absolutely horrible. I mean, it was a very, very negative place to be. I felt God lead me down here to Texas to take on the job I'm at now, which I find to be a blessing. And then, in those prayers, I said, God, I just want to use these gifts and talents for your glory. And here it is. He brings this opportunity to me. It's an opportunity to use these talents, these gifts, for his glory in a full-time Catholic apostolate like this, and still be able to provide for my family's needs. I cannot tell you how blown away I am by this. So I went and I flew down to Corpus Christi, and I met with a couple of other gentlemen from the Fullness of Truth. And, well, we had a great conversation. We ate breakfast over the bay, and I'm going to turn the music down here just so I can finish sharing this and close this out. And we had breakfast over the bay, and we talked about my passion and about their passion. And then they took me to their facility where they're going to hold a conference in February there on the bay. What a fantastic venue. And then they took me to adoration. How many times have you been to adoration on a job interview? I was blown away. That spoke right to my heart. So we prayed about it, and we had to work out some details, you know, salary, benefits, things like that. But I accepted the position. They offered the position. I accepted the position. And I'm going to go to work full-time in Catholic apostolate, full-time in Catholic ministry. Wow. I mean, that's just... I'm still rubbing my eyes. I'll start to believe it when I'm actually there. So I would really appreciate, I'm asking you, please, to pray for me and my family as we take this huge leap of faith and we step out in faith to follow God's call, to live for His glory, to do and work for Him. Now, we don't have to work in ministry to do that. We do that in our everyday lives, at our professions, at our secular jobs. That's part of our life. I feel blessed and honored to be able to have a job and work for God full-time in the ministries. I just can't form the words right now to express just how blown away I am by this opportunity. So praise God. All glory and honor be to God Almighty forever and ever. Amen. Well, there you have it. Please pray for us. I would really appreciate that. I'm praying for you. And until next time, may God richly bless you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.